evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle, but you knew that already, didn't you? And I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I'm so darn glad it's spring out. Are you? Where we live, it's very often rainy, and now it's getting brighter and clearer, and I'm so happy as the flowers emerge, maybe like our consciousness is doing right now on our turbulent planet, heading swiftly into 2012. So what I want to talk about today is how we're all connected. We keep hearing that we're all one. There is no time and space. We are one. And I say, I really understand that. And then every now and then I go, what on earth does that mean anyway? Because our budding independence and our expression of self is such a, sometimes a daunting and driving force, isn't it? But we are all one. But we're all expressions of divinity, aren't we? We're all divinity in in creation, divinity in expression in all the possible ways. I just did an interview with Lynn McTaggart, and I loved it. It was on Tuesday that we ran it on Paradigm Shifters. And she had done a lot of research. She's a journalist, really, but she does research on all kinds of consciousness subjects, and she works with labs, and they tabulate results for experiments that they do. And most of her research isn't really, really original. She brings in bits and pieces from all over. But her book, Move from the Field, describing that wonderful field that even Avatar speaks of, and many, many scientists through the centuries, and different philosophers and so on. But anyway, she talks about in the field what it really means to be connected with this etheric. And then she gets to the Intention Experiment, which is a wonderful book telling what happens when a group of people, group mind, group consciousness, intends on an effect or healing on some specific area, some person, places, or things, some dynamic situation, and so on. And we've all heard those experiments about TMers, meditators who've gone into Washington, D.C. for 3 months and meditated constantly, morning, noon, and night. I suppose they had to sleep and eat, didn't they? But in any case, when they did that, collectively, a whole bunch of them, the crime rate and the chaos in the area, the discomforts and so on, the dissonance faded, and a lot of the crime rate dropped. People found it easier to get along and so on. So that is a little form of oneness. Now she's talking about the bond. Further research, she's gone into pulling up all kinds of experiments and experiences showing that underneath the search for the smallest particle and so on, they're finding over and over again that there's this, I don't know if I can explain it right, but it's sort of like a, maybe it's just like an energy thing which is unformed. It's way, it's not a thing. It's way underneath, but it doesn't have any material status, and that we are all emanating from that, or we're all connected with that. Whatever it is, it's kind of a non, I would just call it a non-aspect that's underneath the atom and the quarks and all of these other bits and pieces. It's space, yeah, really. And so what she talked about is our bonding is the space between us. And one of the things she uses to cite, like bonding, is something we can choose more of, but we all have it innately. And she talked about some examples like in Japan, and we're all certainly thinking about Japan a lot, how like the kinds of factors that influence our life and so on are as much coming from our bonding as anything. She talks about how a lot of the people there are avid smokers, especially the men. They smoke like mad, and a lot of them live to be 100 years old, and they don't have heart conditions and that sort of thing. And they took, they did studies on them and so on, and it wasn't the diet. It's not the diet, and it's not the nature of their stress. What it is that keeps them healthier and stronger is the nature of their social bonding. They're not pushed to be the rugged individualist that most of us were grown up trying to be. They're not always waking up wondering if they're going to, in quotes, make it, and so on. And there's that kind of stress that is really, really hard on our health. And it's she talks about how the bond deep down inside makes a oneness among us, but some of the expressions that we have are affected radically by the people we know, the bonding or the bondages that we have, the pushing and pulling of situations, the food, and I think probably the inner drive. I mean, if we kind of nested, and I'm making this up, but if we nested in the fact that we're all one and we are in bonding, then it would be quite a bit different, wouldn't it? We would be a little bit more relaxed. We'd know that we're in context at all times. So I want us to play with that whole idea of unity. That's a very brief thumbnail. It's only not even scratching the surface of the kind of research that she came up with. But she certainly made me think of all that I'm hearing about oneness. There are beings, I can't remember what their name is, Kalfi, I think their name is. They do the Oneness University over in India, and a lot of people are aware of the Dikshas. The Dikshas are when people who are trained or people who got who had the transmissions given to them can send this incredible Shakti through other people's heads and so on and pass the blessing on so that people begin to wake up and evolve and, they say, achieve enlightenment. And I found that the Diksha process was really, really touching, literally, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. When I was still living down in the Bay Area, I went around to every possible oneness blessing I could find. And what they're saying is we are, I'm just going to extrapolate from what Lynn was talking about, Lynn McTaggart. We are using that kind of tool or the Shakti or the transmissions coming from great spiritual beings, you know, that wonderful spiritual energy, to ignite a deepening and an awareness of our unity with perhaps our divinity or with all that is or with one another. The book Autobiography of a Yogi talks about it. There's a lot of different ways that in spiritual matters they bring up our oneness, that we are somehow a species, or I guess I sometimes think of it, we're this great etheric consciousness that has aspects of it that are broken into the people part. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Anyway, I forgot to call you if you're listening, Deb, and remind you that we're going to call you at 7:30 and hope that you'll come on with your astrological discussion. And I was going to ask you if there's anything about the way the planets are aligned that can express deeper oneness in us. Is there an energy form that we can resonate with? But anyway, I hope that you're going to call in or that Seth is going to call you at 7:30. Please forgive me. I've had relatives here. And, let's see, I'd like us to start with our sacred geometric meditation. And there's something I was aware of as I was preparing for this show, that when we go into the meditation, we create the geometrics, we go in there and we get in touch with an aspect of ourself we're trying to open to or create to. And then in the second one, it's whatever project you're trying to create or you're wanting to create and all the resources we're manifesting, all the resources coming to it. The third section is the Galactic Healing Center, and then we go through several levels of having a table and having our wonderful team of healing beings of different consciousnesses standing around the table, and what is it they would do to help us heal or awaken or whatever it is we're after, and help different people do that. And then remember, we've been bringing, for example, Japan or the Middle East and or the Middle East or North Korea into these healing rooms and bringing our beings of love and light and expansion and all the layers and rims and rolls of consciousness that are behind them to actually impact Japan, for example. And over, I'm told by people that when they're in there doing that, they feel, whoa, a really deep, deep connection and a belonging and I'll go back into the word unity, a unity with the maybe it's the etheric, but the experience of Japan. They really feel like they're there. I had several people, I just got back from California, and several people in the gatherings I did said, wow, it was almost too much. I almost couldn't bear feeling what I feel there. But then, of course, they felt empowered enough at that level of consciousness to make a difference, to be in association with soothing, expanding, healing, whatever it is that's required, even blessing the food supplies and so on. There's a feeling of empowerment when you're in that realm and you know that in the etheric we can do pretty much anything. So there's the unity, there's the oneness of being able to get in touch with beings all over the world that are in crisis and being in no time, no space, being in connection with them and energy sharing in such a way as to bring love forward. I really think that is a good example of oneness and how we can use that consciousness in our daily routines and in our prayers. So, all that being said, let's take a few minutes and do our meditation together. I love doing it because, like I keep saying to you, Radiance by Design is a community of consciousness, and we're connecting together. Again, it's another kind of oneness. It's another kind of unity, isn't it? So I hope you're going to join me with this as we close our eyes, unless you're walking on the edge of a cliff, riding a unicycle, reading a book while you walk. Take a few deep breaths. Remember, the deep breaths are really to detach from all the things we're focusing on in the external world. And now above your head, a golden ball about 2 miles up above your head. And below your spine, another golden ball about 40 feet. Now drop from the upper golden ball down through the spine, all the way down the spine, into the lower golden ball, a filament of light and its gold color. Gold's a very high frequency mineral. And now drop from the upper golden ball to about waist height, and maybe 40 or 50 feet out from your body, a golden pyramid, four-sided pyramid. And then upside down, the same thing, only it's smaller, of course, and its point goes into the lower golden ball, and all the four sides meet at the base. The bases meet. So now you have an eight-sided figure called an octahedron, and inside of that, create a crystal ball, and the outside edges of the crystal ball touch the inside edges of your octahedron. And inside of that, there you are. Remember, you've got the filament of light. My friends in California were saying it was hard for them to keep up with the imagery, so I'll repeat some stuff. Drop that filament of light is running through your entire spine. So inside that crystal ball, there you are with the filament of light running through you. It's like somebody stitched a beautiful golden string through your spine from golden ball to golden ball. We could spin you, couldn't we? We're going to do just that. And you have the star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional star of David, around you. And now we're going to spin and spin and spin on this golden thread of consciousness. Spin and spin and spin. And some of you immediately get dizzy. Isn't that wonderful? Because it's just our imagination, but guess what? It's real too. There you go, round and round. And whilst you're spinning, see in front of you, on the first screen, you're making a movie of yourself and how you want to become. I always say I want to become multidimensional, coming from the heart. Good. And what is it you want to be? You can be anything you want in this first screen. And when you get the feeling you're actually there, wrap that screen in light and move to the next one. And on that one, create a movie of something you want to create, a project you want to make. And see all the resources, the pieces, and the people coming together to create this project. And as the project begins to work, and it could be a home and family, it could be a very personal thing, it could be a book, it could be some clothing, it could be a huge business, it could be a castle, it could be an airplane, it doesn't matter. You create what you want. It could be inventions. There you are. See all the pieces coming together. Good. And when you can really feel that that's happening, I want you to smile and then see all the resources and the people coming together to keep that going, to sustain your project, to see it having nice longevity, and wrap it in light. As all those pieces come together to reinforce its existence, just wrap it in light and let it continue stewing. And now we're going to enter the Galactic Healing Center. Now the first part has the bed comes in, the little healing table, and it's surrounded by your healing team. And you lie on the bed, remember? There you go. And as you lie on the bed, the team, they seem to want to tell me what I need today. Sometimes you can ask them, and sometimes they're going to tell you. So take a look around at your team, and what is it that, there you go. What is it that's going to happen for you? Sometimes they're pushing, pulling things out, and sometimes it's just amazing energy. Yeah, and when you really feel their presence and what they're doing with you, and you can really feel it going, good, then you wrap that in light. Just wrap it in light. That's it. And then we move on to the next. Clear that to the side. Remember, the team can replicate themselves. You have a fresh table, and bring somebody in that needs healing. Okay? And I have a young woman who's very, very frustrated. She's frustrated with her life, no job, health, nervous system is all anxiety-producing, and we're just going to have her lie on the table. Oh, my, and the team's giving her a little bit of a lecture. I won't tell you on global radio. But I'll just say that what they're telling her is that she needs to, she needs to rest more easily in who she really is, because she's contriving a self that's a big distance from who she is, and that's the source of the problem. Doesn't it remind you of the roadrunner with a leg on one cliff and on the other as the cliffs be pulled apart? That's right. And they're loving her, nurturing her, soothing her, and working mostly on her head, her brain, her consciousness. Good job. I felt her calm down. Now we're going to move that scenario to the right, bring in someone else that needs healing. This is a woman who's doing chemotherapy and has ovarian cancer, and looks like they're pulling out some of the deeper dissatisfactions in her psyche and in her soul's journey. They're just pulling them out. They're calling them dissatisfactions, tensions, dissatisfactions. And as they do, I see her becoming more and more at ease. So we wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now let's go to the Galactic Healing Center's big room, where we can bring Japan into the table and be wrapped by the healing team that has layers and layers of consciousness around it. Remember, these are infinitely expanding consciousnesses behind each of the members of your team and you. And we're going to have Japan on our table. And we're going to have that team show us what's required, what needs to be doing to help people, to help Japan. I always see an interesting thing, which is underneath Japan, way under the ocean, is kind of sending this strengthening and loving light up through to kind of lift and bolster the consciousness of those people. And, you know, in the nuclear reactors melting, I feel like we're melting the hearts and the consciousness of some of the, what would we call it, the political or the investors in that kind of power, making a huge difference. And the other thing, you know, I went to see Bashar, and what he said was something, I asked him, and he agreed that when we do this kind of work and we really lift the frequencies, you can shift the toxicity of radiation. So let's just see ourselves sending frequencies, higher and higher frequencies, up through the spreading radiation in people, places, and things in the ocean. And I always like to see the containment of the spreading radiation. But remember, don't underestimate the value of raising the fields and frequencies in and around the radiation. Work with the reactors. This process seems to be going to take quite a while, but the learning curve is tremendous. Good. This is good work today. Thank you for all your help. Now let's wrap that in light. And let's take, well, there are a number of places on the planet. So let's do the one where we bring the whole world in and we bring in light, incredible light from the universe, and bring it down through your heart and out your arms to various parts of the planet. And see yourself entering. You all have different places that make your head scratch. I'm seeing places in Africa where there's incredible political... there's a lot of murder going on out there, you know. So I'm seeing political problems. I'm seeing huge, huge health problems in different parts. I'm seeing Middle East is just in some kind of... everybody's sort of stretched and in turmoil, it seems. Even though some of it's resolved, some of it's just really... anyway, we're going to be sending our light in there and really feeling the tensions, and where you feel those tensions, melt them with your love, your presence, your support. There we go. And it just seems to have a huge impact. Even though we're disconnected from it on the physical right now, I can feel it taking a certain kind of a strata of tension out. And let's go to, you just pick all the places you want to. We're just going to go around the world and pick the places you want to go to. Mm-hmm. And see if we can reduce the kinds of tensions. And see the heart openings in dictators and certain beings who are invested in the ownership of most of the global resources. I like to actually spin the hearts of certain beings who are known as moguls, if you will. There you are. Anywhere you really are, there you are, paying attention. Mm-hmm. All around the world, look for the hot spots, the danger zones, the sickness zones, the greed and control, the zones. That's it. And then spin that light round and round and round the world. And imagine yourself feeling all around the world or seeing all around the world, looking for places of deep tension, deep loss. Yeah. And soothe and soften those. And again, I say pick some of those beings who are used to corralling most of the economic resources or the resources of the planet, keeping people enslaved, and see if we can melt their hearts. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to connect with beings off the planet in order to be fully connected with those ones as well. That's a whole other talk, isn't it? That's a really complicated approach. And now we have to get back to the show, so get that light to go round and round and round your planet, round and round and round your planet, round and round and round your planet. Come back in through your arms and through your heart, up to the top of your head, and way out into the great central sun. Then you close off the galactic healing center and pop into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin. Good. Spin and spin and spin. And now come on into the living room with me. I'd sure like to talk to you. It's almost 7:30, so if you're hearing this, maybe you want to call in. And I don't know, Seth, if you've still got her number. The line to call for questions is 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Oh, maybe we're going to miss that opportunity tonight. Thanks, Seth. Seth's already tried to call her, and he didn't get her, so maybe we're not going to do that tonight. That'd be too bad. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll do it next week, though. Now, what we want to talk about is unity. How many of you felt the connection, for example, with Japan? I sure did. Whenever we do that kind of exercise, I get this really strange feeling of being completely, completely non-physical. Do you? But I think it's that to me is where the oneness really occurs, where it's almost like I know it's not a gel because that's too physical, but kind of an etheric gel kind of feeling where we can move in waves with one another. And I really think that we can change things. I know with the Mayan, I kind of am intrigued by the linking of the bond and the Mayan calendar work by Kalaman. And we're going to have Barbara Hand-Clow on fairly soon as well. And they're talking about how the collective has moving frequencies coming through it, you know, and that the Mayan calendar was designed really to kind of describe those moving frequencies. You know how, and I always use this example because it's really easy, but, you know, we had the Industrial Revolution, there was a kind of consciousness that came through our species, came through the collective mind. And you know how they say that brilliant you know how they always say that brilliant ideas come through more than one mind at a time. I suppose that's what induced us to be crazy about marketing. But to me, it always means that there's a flow of awareness and awakening and a flow of intelligence coming in through our species at any given time. And it's really, you know, probably, well, I can't say who's going to pluck it from the air, but it certainly it's people who are pre-designated to have that kind of inventive mind, isn't it? So I loved it when she was talking about the bond, and she was talking about this awareness of the bond is evoking in us kind of an awakening of our need to be more community conscious, even just thinking about Japan and heart conditions and so on, and longevity whilst they're smoking like mad and so on. All of that is so, to me, it's a rising awareness that we do better in community, in family. Our families all broke down, right? Now, why did they? It seems like if there's a oneness there, our families wouldn't have to break down. But I think we perched ourselves on what we thought we ought to be rather than what we really were. And you can't really build a family or you can't really build a cohesive unit if everybody's trying to be really independent. But as the fields and frequencies move up through us, this is a little different than the unity part, really. But as the fields and frequencies move up through us, it's really hard to stay committed to or attached to, for example, the meanings of things like security. It's really hard to be committed and stay attached to a marriage if you're commitment is based on your keeping yourself smaller than the other person. If you're not in truth with yourself, and if you're not whole, if you're just a presentation that's marketed itself really well, it's really interesting, isn't it, that you can't possibly stay together when the frequencies are moving really fast. But if you become more and more whole, that means being in truth with who you are into your own dharma, I think it's really possible to change and grow and expand and stay together for a long, long time. So call in, you guys. I want to talk about what you're doing. How are you doing in relationship? Lynn McTaggart said that everything, when you're thinking about the bond, you're thinking about oneness, everything is based on relationship, your relationship to yourself, your wholeness, your relationship to your partnership, your relationship to your family, your relationship to the work you do, your relationship to your evolution, your relationship to 2012. I could go on and on because everything's a relationship, but the focus of putting it top of the line is what she was talking about. So how are you doing with all that? So here's a station identification. You've tuned into Radiance by Design with Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I love it when you call in. We'll talk about your life. I can read and see, and my guides and angels help me read and see what's going on in your life, what it is you're trying to accomplish, and how can we help you unhook some of the old programs that you ingested or you created because of past reactions or even because of lineage. We can change a lot of that. And like I say, we're learning about what it means to be one. So call in. I want to see what's going on with you, and I want to talk with you about questions.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi, is that Deb?
Hi, Veronica. Yeah. I'm having all sorts of trouble with my phone tonight. It's been crazy, and it figures because tomorrow's the last day of Mercury going retrograde. So, I always say that the last day, because the planet is stationing, it slowed right down to pretty much almost a standstill. That everything we haven't gotten in the last 3 weeks and 3.5 weeks is sort of in our face today and tomorrow. And
oh, really?
Crazy.
When you say that, you mean everything that we haven't caught on to in ourselves? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Well, every time the planet goes, any planet goes backward, it's asking us to shift our orientation to the more inner, and even when it goes forward, I mean, they just always have certain things they want to teach us and want us to assimilate. And so when the planet has come to a station and it's going to turn to go the other direction, either backward or forward. And in this case, we're about to go forward again. Whatever the teaching has been through the period of time that the planet's been going that direction. So we've had three weeks and three days. Not that I'm counting, but that Mercury's been going backward in Aries, that whole gang of Aries planets. And so everything that we were asked to do relative to an inner Aries work is anything that hasn't we haven't sort of really paid attention to, we're going to really be asked to pay attention to tomorrow. The planet goes forward on Saturday, and it's okay. I mean, it's not like it's a bad thing. It's intense sometimes.
It makes me think of an old teenage comment: "Jiggers the feds."
Yeah, sort of like that. It feels kind of like that. And you know, Aries energy can be really volatile. So I think that what we can look for, if we're still working on this particular ride through, you know, the backward ride of Mercury, would be the shadows of Aries, which are impatience again, anger. I think that everybody needs to be really careful tomorrow to watch for people throwing their anger at them, or just feeling like something is triggering anger that seems even disproportionate to the situation. Because this is still an inner-directed energy, the anger that comes up will have to do with probably something a lot deeper than the situation that brings it up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I had the phone slammed down on me earlier tonight.
You had what?
I had a phone slammed down on me earlier tonight.
Oh, you're kidding. You mean on the show?
No. just in a personal call, and I went, uh-oh, something's triggered here.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So the person who slammed the phone down on you was feeling impatient and angry and all that misdirected Aries energy.
Mm-hmm.
What Aries wants us always is courage, and it wants to help us feel as if we are in control of our destiny. I mean, the courage to use our own will, to direct our life. That's the beautiful Aries way.
Mm-hmm.
But when we feel like we have Saturn in our face, for instance, which we do have, then the choice is to say, why am I being stopped? I mean, why can't I go forward right now?
Mm-hmm.
And accept that, I think, and to accept the fact that there's a reason for what feels like a block, and to sort of embrace it as a really healthy, kind of helpful. I mean, it's like a parent turning to a child and saying, "Don't run into the street," grabbing their hand.
So is it kind of like a slingshot being held back, and then you shoot forward?
Yeah, it's just that sometimes the slingshot should go a different direction. I was reading something today.
Okay.
I was reading today. Today is John Muir's birthday, which is delicious because it's also the second day that the sun's in Taurus, this beautiful earth sign, and he was, he was like the man who really got the national parks going. But anyway, I was talking about this thing I was reading about John Muir. I was talking about how when he came out west from Indiana, he thought he was going to Japan, but he got pneumonia and he went to California instead. And he's the guy who basically he got the national parks going with Yosemite. It was the first national park, and so the point is, it's kind of like that with this Aries-Saturn, I think, energy, where we feel like we really should, the guy wanted to go to Japan, but it was almost like Saturn saying, no, wait, don't go there, go over here,
mm-hmm.
because the universe needs your help over here.
Hmm. Is that happening for you?
Yes and no. Yeah, I think it has been. I feel like I'm lucky because I know what these energies are asking because I work with them all the time. I mean, they're like my old friends, these planets. Mm-hmm. So when Mercury goes retrograde, I just do not push things. Like when my phone wouldn't work tonight, I just thought, well, I guess I'm just going to have to write Veronica an email and say, darn, my phone, I could not get through. My phone would not turn on. And then as soon as I accepted that, then it was just like the universe said, here, wait, try this. And I went into because I'm not very good with phones, I went into my phone and I started monkeying around these little things that I don't really know anything about. And I tried to call one more time and then it went through. And I think a big share of what we're being taught with Mercury going backward in Aries and being confronted by Saturn, this elder teacher that just wants us to show some discipline and mastery sometimes. I think that it's a matter of accepting what's given and then seeing what happens.
I like that. I really like that term. Can I ask you a question then? talking to everybody about the bond, Lynn McTaggart thing, but also about oneness and how we're all one. And so I just wanted to throw this at you. Is there some light from the universe amping up the oneness feeling?
Yeah, huge. Well, yeah, you and I keep talking off air about Chiron having gone into Pisces a couple months ago, and then Neptune, which is the planet that rules Pisces, just went into Pisces about 3 weeks ago. And Pisces is the last sign in the zodiac, and Neptune obviously ruling Pisces. It has everything to do with cosmic heart, which is the oneness, all of the oneness, and the fact that they're both in Pisces now, and one of them is the wound, the healing of the wound, has so much to do, I think, with healing our sense that there's all this dualism, that we're not actually all of one fabric of light.
Well, it's funny because you said the word dualism, and I was thinking about your trouble with your phone, and then saying, okay, and just giving into it, and that sort of reduced that dualism, oh, it works, it doesn't work, into the kind of flow, right?
Yeah, it does. And what's interesting is that Aries, Pisces is the last sign in the zodiac, and Aries is the first. And Aries is so much about the will to be, you know, our own independent self. Thank you very much. It's kind of a young expression of energy. Here I am, and I will do what I want. And that's kind of the midline for it. But the highest note for Aries is always to just say, well, I'm brave enough to put myself forward in this particular way. And sometimes courage, I think, sometimes that Aries courage, if it takes the highest possible note, has to do with understanding that we don't need to push so hard. Because we are both Aries and Pisces. We're both these things. We're the drop in the ocean and we're the ocean. Aries is the drop and Pisces is the whole ocean of consciousness and unconditional love itself. So it's really interesting right now how these planets have got us working on both these energies at the same time, helping us to see that we are both. And that's not really dualistic. That's more like a paradox. That's like the great mystery that human beings are all, I think that the great mystics and people like you have been talking about and working with for all of time. How do we understand ourselves as these individuated bits of the whole fabric of consciousness or of love? Or
and we don't really, because it's a mystery, isn't it? It's part of the mystery of what infinite existence is.
It is, and one of the things that Pisces teaches, and Neptune, too, is the whole concept of surrender. That's the highest note for both of them, is to just say, I believe that there is this mystery, that there is this extraordinary beingness that's beyond my language and beyond my mind's capacity to reach it with intellectual knowing. So I'm just going to surrender to my sense that I am this energy vibrating. I am this beautiful song of energy.
And you're the only one in the universe, even though we're all one.
Yeah, and the only drop that looks just like me. That's why I just love that old metaphor from, I picked it up during my Buddhist days, of the ocean and the drop. It's just so beautiful because it makes it so clear that we can be both. The ocean gets to know itself through the diversity of the drops.
Interesting.
The one can't exist without the other.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Deb. I am so delighted that you could find your way. I'm so delighted that your phone dropped its duality and surrendered into our show.
I know. I just wanted to merge with you.
Well, much love to you. You're well? You're having fun?
Yes. It's very beautiful here tonight. The sky is exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
How are you up north? Are you in Bellingham right now?
Yes, I'm back in Bellingham, and it's actually very beautiful here, and the sky is exquisite. Okay. Shifting clouds, and it's kind of echoing sunset,
yeah.
And it's very beautiful.
Yeah, the beautiful, beautiful Pacific coast.
I have to tell you, it's a little bit too cold, but let's talk soon, and thank you so much.
Okay. Lots of love, thank you.
Give everybody your address.
Oh, my address is my email address is Deb, short for Deborah, Deb@lovedogdesign.com. LOVEDOGDESIGN.com. Thank you so much.
Thank
you.
Your resonance is beautiful. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So this is Veronica Entwistle. Phone in with feedback about Deb or about oneness or about what's going on in your life. How many of you are striving? Oh, goody, we have a caller already. Come on in. Hi.
Hi.
Who have I got?
Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. What's up with you, girl?
Oh, boy. Well, still continuing my 2 weeks of just trying to focus on blessings and being grateful. I've not entirely been that way, and that's okay. And it's been really, really intense week. I went to church and to Sweat Lodge on Sunday and had my chance to step up and say, okay, this is who I am, and just kind of not just back down, but ran around and went the other direction. And later in the week, I got this, you got to do 180-degree and get back on track here. It was so bizarre. No matter what happened, I was told on the way to the sweat lodge, I'm like, you're just going to be there. And it really was. It was my turn to just teach and just be there. But I kind of got back in my old role of, oh, I've got to have this happen or I got to do this. And old things I thought I'd let go of, you know, because I was holding on to them came up. But now
but that's what we're looking for. You're wanting to sweat it out, aren't you? Isn't that what Deb was just talking about, the retrograde was to bring that stuff up, right?
But the funny thing is that it was gone already, and then I just wouldn't let go. And so it's funny, I got the message earlier tonight to forgive, but also to be hope and believe and everything, which is pretty cool because I knew that. And, you know, I'm learning to just kind of wait on some things I was putting together, so now I got to figure out what to do about money. And just making some decisions, and but it's really funny. It's like I'm finally getting some poetry together and really composing. It's been a really interesting week. It's like last week I had a new schedule. You know, it's like, you're going to do this, and I resisted, but by the end of the week it was happening. And then this week it was like, no, you're going to do a different schedule now. Now that you've got it in place, now you got to do a different one and shift again. Like, okay.
Well, you've got another change. You've got a big change coming up this coming week, but I think it's a little bit more stabilizing for you.
Oh, God, I hope so.
But you're looking awfully creative, so that's a good thing. And you look like you get some support this coming week, which I want to say is going to be a bit of a surprise. And from what Deb said, that would make sense anyway.
Yeah, the thing I'm kind of wondering about is that I've been feeling like for 4 years I need to go to California.
Oh, wow.
It's like every time I start to get, huh?
I just want to say not what? Quite yet. You're going to meet a little group of people and then off you go. Yes, I think it's a good idea for you.
Yeah, and I was wanting to go to Turkey and I feel like I need to go, but it's like next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't rush because you've got some kind of change coming up that, after that, decisions are a part of a group kind of thing. There's a consciousness, community consciousness that we keep talking about, and it seems like you're going to embody that in the next little while. And going to California has something to do with somebody you're going to get involved with there, and it might be a little group rather than just a significant other.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking, because about a year ago I was getting guided that I felt like a really strong urge to go travel and do certain things, but I was so... and caught up with the idea I had to be the one arranging everything. I got so caught up in the arranging and all the details were coming that I was getting frustrated and not creating my own stuff. And so that other stuff just fell apart. Hmm. And I dropped a lot of connections that way. But and I'm back on track. But it's been
Stephanie,
difficult
you're
to work the past year.
And you're emerging from a way of being and into a really interesting, we talk about wholeness, that you're coming into a time where you're going to embody many aspects of yourself at once, and there's a different wholeness in you. You'll see it. And then wherever you travel will be much more comforting to you and much more expressive of who you are. I like it very much.
Yeah, it feels different. I mean, I've felt it at moments. I'm like, whoa, this energy feels so different, and then I get caught up in the past again. So that's been the struggle for me is holding on to that.
It's a little bit like a video game, isn't it? Or a board game, you know? We're not just for you, for all of us. I mean, we get stuck in our past programming, and you got to recognize it as fast as you can and get going. Anyway, I'm really glad you called in, and I thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for hooking me up with Randy Masters. He hasn't called back yet, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think he will. He's preparing for a trip to Egypt. Randy Masters, for those who don't remember, is the musical wizard that we had on, does sacred geometrics, and he's taking a trip to Egypt with a bunch of people. He's leading it, actually, and he's leaving very soon, I think next week, so you might find that he's a little busy. You know?
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is he was talking about on his program about things being more cube-shaped, you know,
mm-hmm.
or more pointy,
mm-hmm.
and the sacred sites I feel drawn to are all circular.
Oh, interesting. Well, they're more feminine.
I guess so. I mean, I've been drawing spirals and circles for a few years now, I mean, really intensely. I used to draw circles with grids and checkerboards, and now I draw not so much of that, but other things.
Well, just keep drawing, honey, and thank you for calling, and don't give up on Randy. He's just got a lot on his plate.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It was good to talk to you tonight.
And you too.
Have a great week.
Thanks very much. You too. And that's a really very expressive. Many, many people that I talk to are extremely creative and not stumbling around, but looking for ways to put that creativity into service and be able to pay their bills at the same time. And that's kind of interesting. I feel like in her case, and I'm thinking of several other people that I know, there's really odd serendipitous events coming up to bring things together. But it seems like the connections are when people are very seriously committed to what it is they want to do, it seems like that's how they plant their flag on the planet. So stay tuned to the top of the hour, because we're going to have Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And I think, but I haven't had confirmation yet, that my next show, my Paradigm Shifter show, talking about ETs and Explorations in Consciousness, I had a personal interview, in-person interview with Bashar, with Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, who's a part human, part of the future, and part Esasani, a part alien. And he's a wonderful teacher for many of you who know his work and so on. He's got a great bombastic voice. You can check him out on YouTube. But we have a wonderful interview on the nature of reality and all kinds of change factors and what's going on the planet. And I just haven't had the confirmation that they will have sent me the link by Tuesday night, but I think that's what I'm going to be playing on Tuesday night. So check Paradigm Shifters or write to me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com, no H in Entwistle, if you're not on my mailing list, so you'll at least know when he's coming up. It's going to be a terrific interview. I was just thrilled. And even the woman, April, who's right there with Bashar and shooting it, because they take it visually as well as auditorially, said it was an amazing interview. So I'm really looking forward to sharing that with all of you. And then I'm not really sure what Jackie's show is going to be about tonight, but I want to say that we are all connected. We're all one. And the oneness is sometimes very hard to grok. As Deb says, it's the ocean and the drop in the ocean. I remember Mary Baker Eddy saying, I didn't know her, of course, I was reading her books and studying her stuff. She started Christian Science, and I studied it for about 4 years. And she started in the middle of 1800s, but the way she talked about becoming aware of, my guides always say 95% of our advancement or evolutionary job is clearing, and she spoke in similar kinds of ways. And she said it doesn't matter how clear and how purified you get. Doesn't matter how you lose self. You know, our self is so often identity concocted by all kinds of reactions and postures and so on. And a lot of us spend time releasing our identity on a regular basis. Anyway, she said, doesn't matter how often you clear the self or undo the packaging that you've set up in yourself, you will and merge with divinity and merge with oneness. She didn't use the word oneness then, but it was essentially the same thing. And she said, you will always, always be the only aspect, or we'll use Deb's term, the only drop that's shaped like you, that is like you, with your special note resonating out there. So remember that. See, you are really, really important, and we're all one. Let's take a deep breath and call in the light of love and healing, some of that Neptune, Piscean light. I got a cold here. Call in that light and breathe it all out to our Radiance by Design community, because we are one and we can share the love. Thank you for being in our community. Thank you for listening to this show. Stay tuned until the top of the hour for Jackie Salvitti, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And if you'd like to email me, I'll put you on my mailing list, or I'll set you up for a session, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. That's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. Much love and good night.